Hello and welcome to the Comiccast, Ireland's number one comic podcast. I'm Craig.
And I'm Liam.
And we've got a, you know, a show. A good one. Now it's got to be a corker, I would think is the official title.
Yeah, I always feel bad when we start the show with Ireland's number one comics podcast and then, you know, I haven't put too much effort into thinking about what we're going to talk about. Or...
I've got notes. We've got a notepad with dates. Well, one date today, the date that I wrote the notes. Actually, I'm going to be honest. Only if I had this podcast, I wouldn't have read any comics this month. It was last night, I was like just digging through, trying to find stuff. It was rough.
Yeah, but it's been a busy 2 weeks, I think.
Well, we have been preparing for our comic cast birthday bash.
Yes, which is, that's taken up a lot of time.
It's definitely like turned me off to podcast comics parties.
We're going to announce our retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. It will be the surprise of the night. We are retiring. Do you want to throw the details now? I know we're going to do it at the end, but we just sort of segued into it.
Yeah, why not? Why not? Let's start. Yeah. Well, I guess most people will know.
Yeah.
But Comiccast, Birthday Bash is going to be in Twisted Pepper.
Yeah.
Which is a really cool venue.
It's awesome.
Where all the cool illustrators hang out.
Yeah. It's the only place we've ever gone where we've been recognized.
Yes. We did. We were. What else?
I guess we'll read out the details. We tell them who's playing. Has that all been announced?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's all out. So it's Hoover's the Sledgehammers, Schmacking the Salads. What's the other band's name?
The Worthwhile Experience.
Financial band.
Yes.
Correct.
Then there will be DJ sets from Super Extra Bonus Party.
Yes, and Chris Judge.
Chris Judge! Woo!
And we're still keeping the comedian under wraps.
Yes,
until,
yes.
Why are we doing that?
I'm not at liberty to say, really, because even the story behind why we can't mention him just now would still get him in trouble.
But that's brilliant.
Yeah, rest assured. I think that adds to it.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Although mysterious guest.
I just don't want, not that, like, the person we have is really good. I've seen him live a couple times and he's hilarious, but I just don't want people to come and think we've got like Tommy Tiernan or something, you know.
Daryl Breen. Comiccast.
So we'll rule out Tommy Tiernan and Daryl Breen.
But everyone else is cool. Whoa.
Even American comedians, Dennis Leary, he's game. Yes. Bill Hicks is coming back.
Yes.
To life.
Yes. So
it's what's the day?
It's Friday. Yeah, 17th of July. It's
July because at least four people have said to me in the last week. I thought it was this week.
In fact, I don't know if we should say this. Should we?
I don't think we should say this.
All right, this
we might embarrass. But let's just say one of the bands or people who was playing at the gig turned up this week with all their equipment
for our party, which 1 month early. Yeah, which I like their enthusiasm.
Yeah, it's like people queuing up to see Star Wars Episode 1 a month in advance.
It is okay. We won't end.
Yeah, no, we shouldn't.
But do come. It's going to be great. We're going to project all sorts of visuals.
Yeah, even if you don't like the Comiccast.
Yeah, because a lot of people have been asking me, like, what is it going to be like the Comiccast live?
Yeah.
Is it just going to be us on stage going, hey, see that new Spider-Man issue number 5?
Yeah, it's us sitting at an ironing board with a cardboard box and a crap microphone.
Yes.
No. It's going to be actually awesome. There's loads of bands playing. We've got a comedian, mystery comedian. All, like saying, there's 5 or 6 projectors there and they're just going to be projecting
For a second
videos.
I thought you said we had a magician. I was like, yes! It's brilliant!
We are.
Wow.
Year two.
Yes, year two.
But that's enough about our birthday bash. For now.
Well, all the details are on the site.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about some comics. Or, I guess, a brief run through the show. We're going to talk about some comics, then we're going to talk about some news.
Yes. Yes. Okay.
Do you have any non-Irish comics that you've read this month?
No.
Right. Well, I have a few, so I guess I'll just
power through. This is our first ever Craig's What You Been Reading.
Craig's What You Been Reading.
What You Been Reading.
American style-y. So, X-Men Noir. I actually just bought all these comics and we've got to announce in the last week, because like I said, I didn't have anything. X-Men Noir. I've mentioned the Noir series, the Marvel series before. Marvel characters, put in the 30s. What's not to like, you know?
Sounds great.
And it is. It's great. This one, the X-Men one, there's a few of them. The Spider-Man, Daredevil, whatever. X-Men is the best one. Basically, Professor X, instead of having a school for gifted mutant children, now has a school for delinquents and criminals and teaches them to be better criminals.
Like Fagin, is it in Oliver? That kind of
yeah, it's similar, but more, but with guns and stuff. You know, not just stealing pies or whatever. Yeah, exactly. There's no singing involved. And so, because he thinks sociopaths are the next step in evolution instead of mutants, which is a bit
ludicrous.
He's a bit crazy, but and then Magneto's in it, but he's a crooked detective hell bent on taking out these X-Men. Yeah, so it's great. None of them have superpowers, they're just all criminals. The other ones that kind of have powers is Jean Grey, who in the comics / movies you may remember has psychic powers, so she can make people do what she likes. But in this, you know, she can make men do what she likes with her charms, you know, but doesn't actually have any actual superpowers. But things get real. Jean Grey is murdered, and this detective, the Angel, has to he's looking into it. He also dresses up as a superhero for some reason. I didn't really actually understand that bit. But he's looking into it, trying to find out who killed Jean Grey, and crooked Magneto's trying to take them down.
Yeah.
That's the basic premise. You look like you have a question, or should I go on?
It just seems like I know you talked about it before, but it only occurred to me now when you kind of said that. Really, it is just it's like the X-Men story without any of the kind of superhero powers.
Yeah,
like it seems like a real kind of not a cop out, but it seems like a real money spinner. Like they could do this with possibly anything. Like
absolutely,
you know,
this story, if you just took out the names of the characters like Cyclops and stuff, yeah, absolutely, yeah, it has no relation.
Like
to the
already X-Men. I'm thinking of other like films it can be applied to, you know, like do, you know, Stephen King's Misery, you know, just apply the character. Yeah.
That's absolutely true. It's true. I can't argue with you. You have made a valid point. This story could be told to anyone. Like the other ones, like Spider-Man Noir and stuff. Like Spider-Man does, he doesn't have his powers, but he's quite Spider-Man-y. He climbs walls and can swing around and stuff. I won't ruin how. But yeah. What else do I have to say about this? There's a really great bit in it where Wolverine, Logan, who's just called Logan, he's just a drunken ship captain, you know, in dock, you know, having a drink, and used to be in love with Jean Grey, but now she's dead. And Cyclops, who is also in love with Jean Grey, they meet and they have a great fight. They think Jean Grey's body is found with claw marks, so they think it's Wolverine. And Wolverine doesn't have actual claws in this; he just carries around sort of tree claw things that he uses, like a knuckle duster, but with claws. Yeah, it is. It's written by this guy Fred Van Lente, or Lente. I don't know how you pronounce his name. And like he's done nothing of worth. He did Marvel Zombies 3, which is fucking shit. He worked on Marvel Adventures Spider-Man and Marvel Adventures Iron Man, which are like the kids' versions.
The weird kids' versions, is it?
No, they're just... it's not that one. It's Superhero Scott. But they're shit. Like, they are the worst comics you'll ever read. I don't know why they make them. So I was surprised that this one's actually pretty good. Like, I definitely recommend picking this up. The artwork's by this guy, something, I've just read his last name, Calero. And the covers are this.
Sounds like Solero.
That's you're reading my notes. My pronunciation notes, where I was with Solero. I don't know if you've seen any covers for this, but it's just white, and it's the characters, just a silhouette of the characters, and maybe Cyclops, so just his eye will be red.
Yeah.
And a class, but the artwork inside is nothing like this. It's really dark and hard to distinguish any of the characters from one another. It's bad. It's not bad, but it's not good. And so I kind of wish they just stuck to how the covers are. It basically would just look like Sin City.
Yeah.
And people would have said this is a ripoff of Sin City, whatever, would have been better. Yeah. So, but that said, I kind of seem like I'm down on it. I did really enjoy. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. Mm. And I like noir stuff, and I like Marvel stories set in different universes. Yeah. So it was the bar was already pretty high, and I liked it a bit more than I did. So. Yeah, so recommended. Well, maybe not buy it, but borrow it off me. You know.
We will start a Comic-Cast book club.
Yeah, exactly. We should. Okay, I'll just go straight in.
Yes, again. Please do.
Halo Uprising, based on the video game series Halo, which is renowned by the fans for having a really great story when it really doesn't. It's like really bad. So, to be honest, I'm not sure why I even picked this up, because I have no interest in the world of Halo. Like, I play a lot of video games. I play Halo, but, you know, not interested in the story. So I was very surprised when it's actually one of the best comics I've read in a long time. It's really good. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis, who's Marvel's big writer at the minute, and Alex Maleev, who's a really great artist. Just set in between two of the games, Halo 2 and 3.
Right.
But it's basically the main character, Master Chief, you know, is a badass. He's a soldier, whatever. He's not in it that much, so it's all good. It's just about... basically just a city and aliens are invading it. They're going to destroy the Earth, you know, 'cause they're aliens. But they capture a soldier, and he's like, if you destroy Earth, you'll never find the key of something or other. And so they're invading the planet, trying to find this key, and there's just this guy, he's a bit of a waster, and the aliens attack, and he's with this girl who's a famous musician, and they just get thrown together, and they're just fighting for their lives, fall in love, you know, tragedy strikes in the middle. It's just got everything you want from a love story set in a science fiction universe where aliens are invading. Yeah, it's really good. Like, I made it sound maybe kind of bad, but maybe because I was expecting so little.
Right.
A video game story brought into any other media, you know, yeah. I'm not expecting a whole lot. So this is, it's definitely, like, even if you have no interest in Halo, as long as you're interested in science fiction in general.
Yeah, yeah, so it doesn't really require. Help to have played the game.
It has fucking no correlation to the games whatsoever.
In fact, it ruins your enjoyment of the game.
Anytime they bring in the character, like Master Chief, to make a character from Halo, you can skip those pages because they're shit. They don't, like, he doesn't do anything. Just every now and then, for no reason, they'll just show him killing some people because that's what he does. Like, and you're like, oh yeah, this is about the game Halo. And then it'll cut back to this really sweet story about it between these two characters. So yeah, definitely we're picking up. There's another Halo book, I just thought I should mention this, I won't review it really, but it's also good. It's basically just all these short stories based in the Halo universe. These ones are more requiring knowledge of the games, but there's like one drawn by Mobius, the French, famous French artist. You don't look like
a French. It rings a bell.
I think heavy metal, he was like, he did that for a while.
Oh yeah.
But like, he's pretty well renowned. But also, there's one by this guy, I've got his name here. Tsutomu Naihi, who is a Japanese manga artist who did Blame. I don't know if you've ever watched / read the manga Blame, but it is brilliant. And so anytime he does anything, I'm all over it. He did a Wolverine story before, and that's fucking great as well. So that's also quite good, but this one's better. Halo Uprising, Brian Michael Bendis, I can leave. Check it out! That's got the comic ass 2 thumbs up. And, oh no, not fine. I've got 2 quick ones. Final Crisis.
Take your time.
I'll take my time. Okay, yes. Final Crisis, which is DC's big event from last year, has just come out in a collection. So if people who read the single issues, there was a lot of, it's basically like a clusterfuck of ideas thrown at one another. Nothing really makes any sense. The basic premise is, what if evil won? And so evil wins, and it's pretty great. Like, they do some pretty clever stuff, like they split all the superheroes apart and take them down one by one. So Superman, you can't kill Superman, right? So they get Lois Lane and they basically just blow up the Daily Planet, and she's basically got something, just some metal stuck in her heart, and it basically Superman has to stay beside her and keep her alive. So wow. He has a choice of either staying with Lois Lane and keeping her alive while everything else goes wrong, or leaving her
to die.
That's
a pretty good moral dilemma.
Yeah, exactly. So that's great. Batman, well, they just sort of bring him up onto an alien spaceship
Space.
Yeah, Green Lantern is framed for murder, so he's dragged back to his own planet where he has to, you know, face a jury of his peers. So he can't help. Wonder Woman is infected with this anti-life equation. I won't go into it, but she turns evil and is basically, she's just like real creepy looking, and she's got these hounds. She just sets up people, so she's working for the bad guys. So everyone's fucked. Everyone's fucked. No one. What are we gonna do? Martian Manhunter. They just kill him. They just shoot him. He's dead. They've got nobody. So it's just like all these like C-list superheroes get together. Like these Japanese kids. I don't know if they've ever been in comics before. They're brilliant. This guy Tattoo Man. I think he used to be a bad guy. Now he's a good guy. They all get together to fight. You know, fight the evil. And it's great. It reads much better in a collection than in single issues. Because like I said, it's like Grant Morrison. Sorry, the writer. He kind of said he. In a universe where there's like multiple parallel universes with multiple parallel versions of Superman and stuff, like to have any kind of real event, it just has to be like crazy, like that you almost shouldn't be able to understand all of it.
Yeah, yeah.
You just couldn't comprehend something like that. So that was his plan, I guess. This, and it kind of works because you don't understand what's going on, but reads much better in a collection. They've also cut in some of the tie-ins, in particular Superman Beyond 3D issues 1 and 2, but they've taken them out of 3D for this collection. I don't know why. But it actually is because Superman Beyond is probably the craziest comic you'll ever read, where Superman goes, meets every other Superman in existence, 52 of them, and they all are fighting one another for this elixir that he thinks might save Lois Lane's life. So it's just insane. So when it was in 3D, it was even more insane. So taking out of 3D is a pretty good idea. You can kind of comprehend it. So
yep.
But yeah, it was really good. I didn't like it when it came out in the original comics. I didn't like it that much. But I really liked it this time. Maybe also reading it the second time, since I kind of knew how it ended. I think I should spoil the ending. I'm just going to put a spoiler warning out, right? Just fast forward 1 minute, but the ending is so great, right? They get the bag, Batman comes, he comes and shoots the bad guy, Darkseid. He takes out a gun, he's like, I swore I'll never use a gun, like, because my parents were shot, but he shoots this guy. At the same time, this guy kills Batman, Batman's dead, Superman goes crazy, he's just like screaming, flying around, shooting lasers out of his eyes everywhere with Batman's dead body. And then, but because they've shot this guy, Darkseid, with this magical bullet, everything starts collapsing through time. And the world is falling apart, and Superman's been able to look at this machine, the miracle machine that can create miracles, but he could only look at it for 5 seconds. So he has to spend, like, all of time, so his time is collapsing, he spends all of time making this machine that can reverse everything. So, you know, there's really no time limit, he spends his time, he makes it, and then when he makes the machine, he just sings a song. Just the music comes out of his mouth, and everything's all right again. It's amazing.
So, that does sound great.
It's absolutely crazy, but brilliant. So, again, highly recommended. And that's the final one I get to. I've written out the pronunciation. Ojingago. Which just came in the post today. It's by Matthew Forsyth. It's published by Drawn and Quarterly, and it's basically this little Korean girl, and she gets kidnapped kind of by this huge squid. But then the squid somehow, it's a sound comic, so I'm not sure exactly why, but she fights the squid and he shrinks down to really a small, cute size. So then they become best friends and they're just sort of going around having adventures.
Sounds brilliant.
It is. It's basically like Calvin and Hobbes with like a Korean girl and a squid, and they're just in this like crazy universe where, like I said, it's pretty much silent. You don't know what the fuck's going on, but it's brilliant. It's really well drawn. I only got it today, so I've only read the first half.
Okay.
But really sweet. Yeah, it's really good. The only reason I bought it was because I was on the site. I don't remember why I was on the site, but it said 18 left. I was like, shit, if I don't buy this now, I might never get it. So I bought it. So I was pleasantly surprised it came signed by...
Oh, wow.
And with a sketch from the guy, Matt.
Oh, no.
And it came as well with a free sketchbook, which I didn't order. It just came...
That's crazy.
Yeah, so I'll give you the link. Oh, we should put it up. There might be 17 left. Like, I ordered about
it. There'll be 16, because after the show, I'm going to order one.
Yeah, so it looks really great. I'm looking
forward. Sounds great.
I want to get home and read it. But like I said, Calvin Hobbes, Millia, I've just stolen that. There was a quote on the back, like Calvin Hobbes. but it is true.
You
like,
shut up.
Yeah, it is true. So there's all I've been reading.
Excellent.
So I think we're going to move on to the Irish comics. I've also read some of these.
Oh, brilliant. So we're on to the Irish, what you've been reading. Yeah. And there has just been a shower.
The postman has been knocking every day bringing new comics.
Amazingly, after like months of no new Irish comics, there is shitloads.
Or maybe, are these actually new? Or are they just old ones that we haven't seen?
Well, that's a good point. But let's start off with the two brand new ones.
Okay, I didn't read these.
Yes, these. This is from John Robbins, right. And savvy people on the Irish
comic scene
will know that John Robbins has been, as far as I know, because he's kind of hard to track down, and he's still got a GeoCities website. Remember GeoCities? It's still going. Yeah, I didn't even know they still existed.
I think someone's down Yahoo bought like GeoCities for like, I don't know, $800 billion, and like just as like GeoCities was never going to be used again, they just lost everything. Like,
yes,
GeoCities. I still have a GeoCities website. I think Schmacky the Salads have a GeoCities website.
Yeah.
I think so.
I've shitloads. Anyway,
we've gone off topic.
Yeah, we'll link up John Robbins' one.
And GeoCities.
He's got two new comics out. I haven't read any of John Robbins' comics before, and except for he had one page in the...
The Goal Anthology?
Yeah, the Goal Anthology. Yes. He had one page in that, and that's the first one I remember. But a lot of people were saying you should read, track down his stuff, but I can find it anywhere.
Okay.
You
tried.
I looked in the comic shops and they didn't have any.
Yeah.
But ages ago, Phil Barrett did give me a pretty cool collection of short stories by John Robbins called Vacancy for Satan. And he's done quite a lot of collections of short stories. But anyway, these are first two
comic. We don't care about prose here.
So the first one is Monkey Head Complaint.
Okay, I'm down with that.
nice title. Which is about basically this... Dublin guy who kind of befriends a troubled teenager who's been fired from Tesco's.
Yeah.
And it's only short, so I don't want to go into too much, but basically it's about his kind of he's kind of going mad. And that's a long, you know, yeah. and the short of it. I don't really,
don't want to ruin it.
Yeah, I don't want to ruin it because these are small press. They're very small. The artwork is lovely. I like it.
Yeah.
It is really nice. But yeah, it's great. I mean, there's halfway through this comic, the wife of the main guy kind of says, starts talking in this kind of like Victorian kind of, you know, dialect or language.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah, Neo, not this shit. And she's like, it's Thursday, okay? You have to do this. So they both just start talking for the rest of the story in this ridiculous Victorian thing, you know, which is great.
Yeah, yeah.
It's you know, it's more kind of, there are funny bits in it, but it's more kind of a, you know, a dramatic piece. Slightly scary. Like you were saying about the crazy superhero comic, about not exactly sure of what's going on.
Yes.
That's how I found this. There's actually a lot of text in this.
Yeah, I was looking. The panels seem quite small with a lot of little text on it.
Yes, which isn't always something that I would personally favor. I don't really like too much text. But it worked pretty well here. I should say for the record, the Monkey Head Complaint, and I think everything else is usually accompanied by like John Robbins and then John Robbins in Irish, like Sean McRobin.
Yeah, the same person.
The same person, apparently.
Okay. According
to...
Is that like a brother who has a slightly different last name?
Yeah.
Well, I didn't realize it was in Irish.
Yes. And the other one that's out is Inside Outsiders.
Okay.
Number 42, but I'm pretty sure it's just issue one.
Right.
Which is great. It's basically about a group of... This is going to sound familiar, okay?
As in my life.
it's about a group of toys, you know, whose you know, owner has kind of gone off, and they're just in the room.
Okay.
And they're all just going around. But it is actually really awesome. I mean, when I started reading it, I was like, this is, you know, it's like Toy Story. This is like a million other things I've seen before. But it's really funny. It's basically just about, I can't remember now, I think it was Kirk. Like from start, they're all recognizable action figures, but I think it's about Kirk, and or one of the toys has left the room. They're trying to find this lost toy because he's had a hiccup in his relationship with a Bratz doll, who's like the slut toy of the room. It's really about that. But it's really funny. Again, lovely. I really love the cover, actually. It's awesome. Nice artwork. This is really good. I mean, this is really good quality.
Yeah.
Like this is the kind of comic, you know, that you wish was coming out on a regular basis.
Yes.
This is definitely, you know, up there with the best Irish comics.
Yeah.
You know.
Wow. That's high praise.
No, it is. It really is. And yeah, fittingly, it is available to buy from Phil Barrett's website on blackshapes.com in the shop section. You can order from there. Also, Forbidden, I think it's only Forbidden Planet stocked this. I'm pretty sure that no one else has it.
Okay.
But they're both, one of them is definitely only €1.50, but I'm pretty sure they're both €1.50. It's definitely worth
€1.50. Who wrote this? I don't
see a name on it. This is the same guy. It's John Robbins
John
again.
Well.
Yes.
Sorry, I see.
You know, you wait ages for one to come along and two come out at the same time. Definitely pick these up. These are like...
For $1.50 as well, that's...
Yeah, really great.
Awesome.
Next, on to a whole bunch of comics from Longstone Comics.
Yeah, yeah.
So Longstone Comics
Tell me the history of Longstone Comics.
This is like a collective... of kind of comic-y people who I think, you know, the way you kind of think that we know everyone in the Irish comic scene, we really don't. But I think I'm speculating a little bit. I know some of them are from Meath, so maybe they're all from Meath. I don't know, but
that is speculation.
But at least, you know, three at least are from Meath definite. So they've come together and they've made this
I don't know what the publisher thingy.
Label? No.
Label's a good word.
Okay.
We'll go with label.
Yes. Which is Longstone Comics, and they've because I remember at the Free Irish Comics
we got their first collection. You think?
Collection. Yes. Of just random stories.
It's kind of like a sampler of the.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. And it was pretty good. And there's loads of people. There's like I think there's at least six people like involved in these. But so anyway. They brought out volume 2 of this, which again is like kind of the first one. It is just kind of like a sampler. So there's some good little kind of stories in it, but it is more like a sampler and not kind of an anthology.
Yes.
But some nice work, certainly showcases. You know, definitely
worth picking those up to see. But like, we have the full issues.
Yeah,
of
so here. we have two comics here. So the first one is Super Hillbo.
This is brilliant.
Which
I just read this like 5 minutes ago. It's great.
Which is like a little kind of, I don't know, superhero girl.
Yeah.
Who.
It kind of reminded me of like the Powerpuff Girls in a sort of a sense, you know. She's just a little superhero girl sorting out some little problems, but well, sometimes big problems. Pirates, for example.
Yes.
Are
in trouble.
Who's kind of like obsessed with sausages?
Yeah.
It's cute. It's nice. I like it.
Yeah, I did. I really enjoyed it. Hilary Lawler is
that? Yeah, Hilary Lawler.
Yeah,
so this is the first issue. It's pretty substantial for a first issue.
Yeah.
It's collected some of the stuff I've seen before in other anthologies.
Yes, there is sort of bits of it in those anthologies. Yeah, I really liked it. The art's like cute and it's pretty good. And I thought it was really funny. I was laughing my whole way through it. So
There was I liked the story you mentioned, like the pirate
pirates,
one where she's got like a pirate DVD, so she has to go and
find actual pirates.
Yeah, I thought it was good. I liked it.
Yeah.
So definitely looking forward to seeing more of this.
Yeah, it says issue 2. We expect it out late 2009. So
awesome.
Fingers crossed that actually
happens. Yes. Next,
Downpour.
I
read this as well.
Wait, did you?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
Actually, I think I did.
Yes, I did. I really enjoyed it.
Yes. Brilliant. Yeah, wow. I really enjoyed this.
This is like, actually, when I was reading this, I was thinking, like, this is exactly the comic I want to read. It's like the exact setting I like in my comics. It's the exact tone I like in my comics.
Yes.
I loved it.
So basically, long story short, it's about a guy who kind of lives in this, we're not really told, but we can see it's some sort of futuristic or different world where they all kind of live in like treetops or something.
Yes.
A city built around treetops. Think Ewok Village, but more advanced.
Yes, exactly.
And it's constantly raining.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is just a first issue, if this is a one shot. I really hope.
I was thinking when I was reading that, I was like, I hope this is a
continuation.
But the story does end, like, pretty much, like, I don't know. You could definitely set more stories in this place.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
But the story told in this is kind of completed at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. As you were saying, as soon as I opened the front page and seen this kind of futuristic city in the trees with the rain, what a great idea.
Yeah, it is.
It's a really great idea. I really enjoyed it. Again, it's only around 20 pages.
It's very, it's short.
The art is great. I love the art.
Art's really good. The stories are good. It's very short, so don't want to spoil too much, but
no.
Not everything's all good in this in this world. I was thinking like Logan's Run when I was reading this, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's that kind of...
Well, actually, but the guy who wrote, we should probably say Peter Loftus wrote this, and Deirdre DeBara drew it. But Peter Loftus has come out with like some sci-fi stories in the past. He's brought out like a little kind of collection called Survival in a Void.
Okay, right.
But he's apparently got like a couple of stories published in the British Science Fiction Association in the Focus magazine. Yes, awesome. He's got like two stories. So, you know, pretty substantial writer.
Classic.
It's
more than I've done.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know. If he's listening, definitely get another write another issue. I love it. It's great.
Absolutely.
And the cover is awesome.
Yeah,
I like.
This was a really nice surprise today. It's one of the best comics, Irish comics.
It was certainly actually just a like. It's the first time. Well, not the first time, but it's the first time that you know I picked up an Irish comic and went, I could really, you know, I could get into the story as a continuing story.
I
think when small press there's a lot of kind of, you know, because it's small press it has to be a one shot really, because they're never out.
Because
small press are notoriously lazy. But Downpour, I would like to see more,
definitely.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. We mentioned Rerun on the last one. I just want to plug it again because it was
really
awesome. It's just the Irish comic. We did talk about it last time.
But it's just to remind people, it was like Bob Burns got stuff in it, Phil Barrett.
It's full color. It's like €2.50.
It's also like, from a production quality standpoint, it's the best Irish comic you're going to read in the
ever.
Absolutely. color Phil Barrett work. Where are you
going to
get that?
Yeah, I'm sure. And it is aimed at kids.
Yes.
So if you have kids, because I remember actually someone asked us before what comics would we recommend for kids.
When I was reading this, actually, I was thinking, do you remember when you were in primary school and you get those Christmas, those shitty fucking like books with like Christmas stories and yeah. like crosswords and stuff like that. Fuck those out and give everyone fucking a copy of Reraw in primary school. Like, it's so good. Like, yeah, definitely pick it up.
Awesome.
Yeah. So that's all our comics for the Irish comic, Ireland's number one comic podcast.
Yes.
Let's move on. So
news.
Do you want to talk about Terminator briefly?
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. Yes.
This has been a topic of controversy on our Twitter, and we're just gonna set the story straight here.
Yeah, because people are demanding to see the fight.
People want answers.
They want blood.
You thought Terminator was good. I thought it was the worst movie ever made. Well, no, that's not true, because it was at the time, but then I went to see Angels and Demons this week, and I thought that was much worse. I don't actually have that much to say about it now that I've brought it up.
Well, Terminator Salvation, I went to see it, okay? So I haven't seen Terminator 3.
You're missing
and it. And I mean, like, obviously, I'm not a huge Terminator fan in terms of I'd be pissed off if they did, you know,
a
sequel and mess things up.
Wouldn't appeal to me.
But certainly the one thing that I always thought from watching the first two was the one thing you always want to see was the future fight between,
agree.
You know, the humans and the cyborgs.
Absolutely, yeah, I agree.
That was the one thing. And I'm led to believe that, like, Terminator 3 was kind of to set the stage for that, but only really gets to it at the end.
Yeah, it ends and exactly. You get to it at the end. You're like, yes, it's about to start, and then the movie's
credits.
Over. Yeah, exactly.
So this, like, as I was saying before, like, I went and watched this. I went, you know, that was a good movie, and I kind of really put it at the back of my mind.
Yes.
So it wasn't a good movie in terms of where I'd come out of, you know, whatever, you know, something good that
Lost
I...
Lost in Translation,
yes. where I came out was thinking about it for ages.
Yes.
I just thought it was a flat-out, average good movie.
Just an enjoyable romp.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I liked it. I mean, the guy who directed it,
MacGee.
I mean,
famous for Charlie's Angels 1 and 2. I've said this before, but, like, have you seen Charlie's Angels 1 and 2?
Yes, yeah.
Like, all you have to do in those movies, like, you've got Cameron Diaz, Lucy Liu, Drew Barrymore, all really attractive women. All you need to do is just put them in different places, like, and get someone good martial arts to teach them a few moves. Like, I could actually make that movie with no directorial experience, and somehow he fucked it up and made it, like, painful to watch. So, yeah.
Although Bill Murray was in it, so
yeah,
that landed it some.
That's true. That Bill Murray. Yeah, it's tough to be a Bill Murray fan. Sometimes that's all I'm saying. Yeah, like, you're right. Like, I guess it wasn't. Wasn't the worst movie.
What was wrong with it?
It was all sort of... Everything that annoyed me about it was kind of like... For example, Christian Bale jumping on one of the Terminator motorcycles. If you haven't seen the movie, there's Terminator motorcycles. So basically a motorcycle that has some sort of Terminator functionality. It has
yes.
a bit of a brain. And so all you have to do to get one of these on your side is to plug in they've conveniently got USB ports on the outside. So you plug into the USB port and click the override button. Then it's overridden. And then somehow it has controls on the outside. Just in case someone actually hijacks one of these Terminator motorcycles and wants to drive it around, like...
Brilliant.
Yeah, it has, you know, handlebars, acceleration, brakes, everything you need. Yeah, that kind of stuff got to me.
If that's the kind of stuff that's gonna get to you, things are gonna get to you.
Yeah, no, everything about it, actually, just the acting was bad. Christian Bale was terrible in it.
That's shocking.
And your man was really good, though. The kind of half Terminator guy.
Yeah, he was good.
He was good. Mm. I was quite impressed by him and nobody else. Just dreadful. There wasn't even any good action scenes in it. Or, you know, like you're saying, you wanted the battle, but it doesn't actually have the battle. You know, there's one bit where there's a kind of a Transformer Terminator, and that's the only bit where there's any kind of fighting. The rest of the time, they're just, oh, and I just remembered Arnie's in it.
How could you forget Arnie?
When they bring out Arnie, that fight at the end, like, is easily 45 minutes long and fucking just painful. So, yeah, no,
wow.
I definitely wouldn't recommend going to see this movie. No, don't go see it. That's the guy.
So that's one thumb up and one thumb down.
So yeah, we're somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move off that onto news. Unless you have something else.
No.
Die Hard Year One. Have you heard about this?
No.
You haven't heard about Die Hard Year One?
No. What are you talking about?
Die Hard Year One.
Like Die Hard.
Die Hard Year One. Written by Howard Chaykin. Are you familiar with him?
No.
He wrote and drew American Flag. He's a really good artist and writer. But being drawn by our very own Stephen Thompson.
Oh, wow.
Drawn John McCain.
Woo!
Not John McCain. What's his name? McLean.
John
McCain.
McCain
was the presidential candidate.
Oh, I see. That would have been a good segue had you done it properly.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, maybe that's why he got the job. They're just looking. What's he done? Oh, he drew John McLean before.
This is a typo, yeah.
So Die Hard Year One is set, I think, 10 years before Die Hard One. And it's basically just, you know, Bruce Willis, he's a cop on the street, just doing his shit. It looks what I've preview pages I've seen look really good. I don't know why you're laughing, Liam.
I'm just thinking it it does sound great, but just like 10 years before, and I'm just thinking of X-Men, or I'm just thinking of, man, comics people, they just, it sounds like comics people are worse than film people for fucking rehashing stuff.
No, man.
But it sounds good.
It does, it looks really good. To be honest, you know, it's not out yet, so I can't review it, but the pages I've seen look really good. Howard Chaykin is pretty renowned as a good writer.
Yeah.
So, and Stephen Thompson, we well know, can draw his fucking way out of a paper bag, so I can't wait for this, actually. I think it's going to be really exciting. It's coming out by Boom Studios, who seem to be hiring everyone in Ireland.
Yeah, yeah, they do.
Like, if you're drawing comics and you're not in contact with Boom Studios, now is the time.
I was approached by them.
Seriously, like, everyone, just get on the Boom Studios wagon.
Do you have any other news?
I've
got loads.
Yes, okay, well, we'll do some Irish news now, because Alan Maloney of loosefell.org has announced that he himself and Niall Duggan are going to be collaborating on a new comic, which is provisionally titled Full Metal Gentleman.
Yes.
Which is a great title.
I love, just to go off topic, but like, there's so many Japanese anime / manga that are called Full Metal something, where clearly they don't understand what the Full Metal and Full Metal Jacket means. They just think it means, like, I don't know, heavy metal or something.
Brilliant.
I just love it. I think everything should be called Full Metal something. Full Metal Alchemist is one of my favourites.
Ridiculous.
Anyway, Full Metal Gentleman. Sounds great.
Yes. So apparently it's going to be, as far as I can gauge this far, because it's going to be for a new Irish magazine, I think, that's going to be launched next year. And this is going to be a continuing adventure that appears in it, set in the 1800s. That's about all the information we have, really.
Great.
At this stage. But, I mean, in the meantime... Yeah, in the
meantime... Loosefell is back.
So in the meantime, we'll have, like, The Abyss comic, which comes out in September. Yeah,
looking forward to that.
Absolutely. So keep looking at loosefell.org, because he's uploading, you know, new images of this new comic.
Great. Do you want me to go? Spider-Man the Clone Saga returns. I really wanted to talk about this one. This is the most exciting
what
thing.
The fuck.
Well, when I was a 9-year-old boy in primary school, I picked up my first real Marvel comic, and it was like Spider-Man the Clone Saga something, issue 4 of 6, you know, and that was my first introduction into the messy brilliance of the Clone Saga. I'm gonna say Clone Saga as many times as possible in the next minute.
Clone Saga
is Spider-Man has a clone and he comes back, and then the twist is they don't know if the clone that came back is actually the real Spider-Man or not. And for a while the clone did become the real Spider-Man, and he took over the books. But the point was, the Clone Saga was originally meant to be this kind of six issue story where this clone come back, blah blah blah, stuff would happen. But it ended up, because it was selling so well and comics were kind of, sales were going down, they ended up stretching this 6-issue story out for 2 years.
What?
two years. It is. And like, this mid-90s comics are fucking atrocious, and this is why. But I must say, as you know, a 9-year-old boy who didn't know any better, like, every week there'd be a new twist, you know, and it wouldn't make sense because I didn't even know the characters, but just that there was twists excited me, you know, and I'd be like, oh, I can't believe that happened to that guy who I don't know. So, like, I was in love with the Clone Saga, like, and I still have a fondness for it, so.
Yes.
What's happening now is they're bringing out the original writers are coming and they're doing their 6 issues, what they were going to do, what the story was going to be before it got turned into this crazy mess of a story where... Lots of shit happens. So I can't wait. I think it's going to be really good. I'm really excited about it. When the Clone Saga ended back in, you know, 96, I stopped reading comics. Like, and I didn't get back into them for 2 years.
Well,
like, until about
it
2 years
that
ago.
Much of an effect.
Well, the reason was that the next week, after 2 years of, like, twists and things, the next week Spider-Man was just, you know, fighting some dinosaurs. And I'm like, where's the twists? Like, how am I meant to, after a 2-year epic, how am I meant to just read a regular story where he fights a dinosaur?
Wow.
Like, so, and that literally until I was about 22, didn't really read any superhero comics at that point. So Clown Saga Bode created my love of comics and destroyed them in a small space.
It might have been good if it was Marvel Dinosaurs. That's a new one.
You can have that one.
Yeah, that's on us.
Marvel Dinosaurs.
A bit more Spider-Man news. I don't think we talked about this before, but I'm sure Spidey fans
are up in arms.
And or Broadway fans.
Spider-Man the Musical.
Turn off the dark. it's gonna be epic. So details of this. Basically, this is a full Broadway show that is hitting Broadway, as it were.
Yeah.
In next year, 2010. Tickets go on sale this month. That's how far in advance
you have to get.
You have
people
to go.
Are queuing already.
Yeah, so the director of the show has directed like such awful films as Across the Universe, that Beatles, an awful
nonsense.
Beatles trash. But the real thing is the book, who's doing the music and lyrics, that I can exclusively reveal.
Oh, exclusive.
Exclusively reveal. Bono and the Edge have taken to the helm of this project.
If there's one thing Bono and Edge are renowned for, it's good music.
Man, this sounds like, I mean, it's going to be the most awfully great thing ever.
There's no way it can be good, but there's also no way it won't be enjoyable.
I can guarantee it, like,
the comic guys will be there.
I was just going to say, I can guarantee if I can make it happen. Because, I want to go to New York.
Yeah.
We will do a special from there. That'd be awesome. But,
I cannot wait.
Yes. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who can wait a long time for a Spider-Man musical by Bono.
Bono.
Christ.
On the Edge. More news, I guess. Captain America. He's back.
He's back. What? He's dead.
He was dead, but he is... Well, he's not back yet. But it's been announced this week that he'll be making a return. Yes.
In what form?
He's going to be coming back to life in his own comic.
Man.
Yeah, no, I wait, like, you know, I've been reading Captain America, and it's a really good comic. It's, like, a lot of people, myself included, have this kind of block, or had this block against Captain America. Who has to, like a Captain America, really? Who wants to read a comic?
He sounds like a douchebag.
He does, like, it's kind of... People have the same problem with Superman, where he's like too good that they can't get into
him.
But this guy also stands for America. So that makes him much worse. But unfortunately, the comics are really good. So you have to get past that. So about 25 issues ago, Captain America was assassinated and shot down in cold blood. And, you know, ever since there's a new Captain America, he's been pretty cool, Bucky. He's been, people are getting used to him now. He's just getting into the stride of it. And bam. Turns out, if you've read this week's Captain America issue 600, with the worst twist you've ever gonna hear in your entire life, the gun that shot Captain America was a special gun. It wasn't a regular gun. That's all the information we're given. But clearly,
say no more. Yeah. A special gun.
There was something different about that gun. Something that meant he didn't die. That he was sent into an alternate universe or a parallel universe
with imaginary bullets.
Exactly, like trash. But unfortunately, Captain America's return. It's coming out in a miniseries called Reborn, and it's being drawn by Brian Hitch, who is, like, absolutely, without a doubt, the best artist Marvel have, like, at their disposal. He's brilliant. He drew Ultimates 1 and 2, which everyone loves because it's great. He's doing the Fantastic Four at the minute with Mark Miller. And he's, like I said, he's without a doubt, no argument. I won't accept any argument from anyone. He is the best artist they have, so either way, I'm going to have to buy this. I will be reading it. I'm going to be fucking angry, like, alternate universes, parallel, whatever. I don't care, but... Captain America, blah blah blah, but I will be forking out, unfortunately. So that's my news for the week. I'm a bit depressed about it, to be honest.
Well,
I'm annoyed at myself.
To cheer you up, I don't think we've really talked about this, but basically, as a lot of people will know, Phil Barrett, Katie Blackwood, and Patty Lynch have joined forces.
Kind of like a Transformers when they get together.
Yes,
one new Transformer.
And what they form is Summer Edition.
Okay.
Which is basically this new kind of artist book, comic, and zine fair that is going to be taking place in Film Base.
Yeah.
Originally, I think they were taking like the top part, but because it's become so... our people are so into it, and people want to, you know, promote their stuff. They're going to use the bottom floor, which is huge.
Right.
So basically, yeah, all sorts of cartoonists and zine makers and book art, you know, people and poets and whatever. They're all gonna like come together, to kind of celebrate DIY publishing. There's like over 30 exhibitors, like including loads of people that we know and love.
Yes,
including the already mentioned
Katie Blackwood,
Phil Bart.
Windell guys, do I see that there?
Yeah, the Windell guys are going to be there. Mindpus, Ronan Kennedy, Road Crew. The Clean the Lions is going to be there. That Baby Beef, that zine
we like
Baby Beef.
We love Baby Beef.
That scene is there. There's going to be loads.
That looks great. Yeah, what date is it on?
That is on. Do we have the? Oh, it's the 4th of July.
The 4th of July. Brilliant.
Yes.
So that in no way clashes with our Comic Asthma. True.
In fact,
so you can attend both.
Yes, you can attend both.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and it's free in. You can come in. You can take part in a workshop. There's gonna be like handcrafted stuff.
Yeah.
And you can pick up loads of awesome books.
We're gonna be there picking up our review material for the next 6 months.
Yes. Sancho and 20,000 Leagues.
Great.
Are gonna be there as well.
Sancho is the actual guys. The creators of Sancho. I don't remember his name.
Yes.
Cut that bit out.
Okay. So
that's it. I don't have it.
No, I don't have anything else either.
Transformers is out this week, but I didn't like the first one.
Yeah.
I want to set a record straight because people think that I'm the one that liked it and you're the one who didn't.
I've seen that creeping up in a couple of things, which I think is hilarious.
It's not hilarious. I fucking hated that film, like more than fucking Terminator Salvation, for example. I hate Terminator.
Because when we appeared in the dystopia strip, you're wearing it like a Transformers T-shirt.
And I did quite like that we appeared in the strip and all. Yeah. It's like I don't like Transformers.
Yeah.
But I kind of took it as he likes the original Transformers.
Yes.
Because I do.
I see.
Well, I don't really, but I'm not against it. I'm fucking very much against the movie.
All right.
So,
Well, I enjoyed the first one.
Well, you're an idiot. Clearly you enjoy terrible movies. So we're back in 2 weeks.
Yeah, we're back in 2 weeks with an interview with the guys from Windell.
I was looking at you like, have we done an interview?
Yes. You weren't there. But I certainly went.
Look, those guys are funny guys and their comic is hilarious. So you should both buy their comic and listen to our interview with them in 2 weeks.
Yeah, it was actually, it's a great interview. Coming up in 2 weeks.
Great. So until then, good night. See you later.